Good morning, good morning. Glad, so glad that you're here and expecting God to do something powerful in our lives here today. I want to encourage you, always, always come to the house, man, to God's house, ready, expecting. Amen? And I just believe that, man, the level of expectation is going to determine what you're going to get back. Amen, everybody? And so expect God. Everybody say expect God. Yeah, expect Him to move. Expect Him to speak. And He's here in this place today. We are in our second week of You Asked For It. How many enjoy last week, hopefully? Because you asked for it, all right? So these messages, if it flops, it's your fault, all right? So just messing with you. But I'm halfway serious. But anyways, no. But these are messages that you had asked for and having a great time with it. Before I get into this message here today, I want to give you a date that's coming up. I really wanted to do this well ahead of time this year for you to have plenty of time to pray, prepare. And our legacy offering that we do once a year is happening this year on December the 3rd. I know December feels like it's so far away, but as you and I know, it'll be here a lot sooner than we think. Come on. And it's hard to believe we're in mid-October, but it feels like May. And the weather, and how many enjoying the warm weather? My goodness. I could do this through winter, if you ask me, all right? I know we got some snow, people that love the snow, but I'd not take this warm weather all right through the year. But I want to encourage you, Legacy Offering, if you've never been a part of it or maybe you forgot, it's an opportunity for us once a year that we made the decision last year to do this, and it was powerful. We'll take up one offering just that day, and its design and our hope is that through the season of giving, of Thanksgiving and Christmas, obviously just around the corner after that, is an opportunity for us to give a gift back to God. And so this year, our vision for Legacy Offering is very similar to what we did last year in helping to take what God has provided and going to the ministries of our city and being a blessing to them. And as we worship God with this offering on this particular Sunday, man, we're going to make a difference with it. For some, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, that last year we went to different ministries that already doing ministries well and making different kinds of impact, already got boots on the ground. How many know it's important not to try and reinvent the wheel, but go alongside those ministries that are doing it well and just supporting them, praying for them? And there's some great dynamic ministries that are doing incredible things in our city. And so last year, we actually got it on video. We showed up unannounced to these different ministries with just checks in hand on behalf of Elevate City. Man, we believe in you. We thank God for you, for what's happening in this ministry as it's touching our community. Because how many knows it's going to take a lot of us to reach tens of thousands in the city of Fort Wayne. Amen? And so I just believe if we do our part, man, God's going to do His part and multiply that. So we showed up and let them know and blessed them financially, but also just let them know, man, there's a church that is on the northwest side of our city that loves you, praying for you, believes in you. And so that's part of what it's going into, Legacy. And then also, just to continue the vision of our church and where we're going and continue to further and advancing God's kingdom. So we do this once a year. So I'm not asking you for anything. I'm just encouraging you to go to God now and ask God what He would just have you to give on that particular Sunday. We'll just, again, take one offering that day. And man, I just encourage you to really believe God and challenge your faith and go above your tithe and trusting God with that. But whatever God speaks is what I want to encourage you to do. And so begin to pray now for that. I know Beth and I are already praying and asking God what He would have us to do for that Sunday. So everybody say legacy. So, man, we want to make a difference, and we want to continue to model generosity well. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, I want to get into the message. If you already haven't, there's message notes inside of your worship guide. You can grab those and follow along in the message with me here this morning. Last week, we talked on the subject of worry, and really, this last week and this week are subjects that I really felt like I needed to try to do a good job. Hopefully I did last week and tried to do it this week, of helping us in the area of worry and stress, because the two most asked for messages were on, man, how do I handle this stress? And then I need some peace in my life was the second most asked for message. And so I just thought, man, after just some praying that, man, we need to combine these 2 weeks and just help us really identify, you know, the Bible really doesn't use the word stress, it uses the word worry. And where you look in the definition and the understanding of worry, though, you find stress. And so what we're trying to do is help us to do that. Because how many know, man, stress will mess you up. It'll eat your lunch, if you're not careful. And I think we're in such a culture and a society that we are dominated by worry and fear. But I'm just of the faith and of the belief that God has a plan for our life. He knows exactly what he's doing, and that we got to trust in God's playbook for life. You know, I'm a big football guy. I like football. My Irish had the weekend off, and after some much-needed rest, we got a big game coming up next weekend with USC. But nonetheless, you know, we've got some of the most national championships in all of college football for a reason. 11, all right, in case anybody wasn't counting, I'll count them for you. But nonetheless, in order to win championships, you know, when I think about this in football on any level, NFL, college, high school, I was at a great high school game, Carroll the other night, incredible game. And we have a couple of our boys that are in our church on the team. You've got to have a good playbook. If you want to understand your opponent, you also have to have the film to really understand the opponent well. But if you have a good playbook, you'll be set up for some success if you'll execute it. Now, you start doing your own thing, and any football player will tell you, you start doing what you want to do, it's going to mess you up, but it's also going to mess the team up. And so you got to run the play. And so God has a great playbook written. It's called the Bible, everybody. And so how many know that the plays that he has written, that we just need to run them? And so the key is, and it's been effective for thousands of years, so I think God's doing a pretty good job with his job, so we just got to continue to buy into the truth. Proverbs talks about this, and sell it not. So let's run the play, because God's got a play for you to run in your own life. God's got a play for his church to run. Come on, somebody, amen? And so we're going to run the play. Everybody say, we're going to run the play. All right, we're going to run it. We're going to run it. And so let's look at this scripture in Proverbs 17, 24, because I want to help us get into a place of, in Jesus' name, consistency, and that your life is not in such a place where you are dominated by the worry and fear and the anxieties of life. It says this, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. How many have ever set out to do something and then you've ended up being distracted or doing 20 other different things? It's like me trying to put a table together or a desk. It's like there's directions there. How many don't believe in directions like me? You just like want to get it done? Yeah, it's just like, this is a waste of my time. Like, I don't have time for this. So when I feel that way, I just call Bethany and my girl. I said, baby, I put 5 good minutes into this. I can't do it. Here you go. She just did a headboard, man, for our bed. And if y'all saw it on social media, I'm like, girl, you like Miss Vila. You know what I'm saying? Like, just amazing. But she aimed at wise action instead of aiming at a bunch of different things. And stress is messing up the lives of people. I've been in this a little bit now, and will say that I have been bedside even of a lot of people that stress has even caused. I'm going to give you some stats in a moment, their health. And so I just believe this is an important subject today. I'll be honest, man, my heart's really focused today because I really want to get something to you. And a lot of us, I think, end up in stressful situations because we continue to repeat or do the same thing we've always done. And so there's a red flag I'm just waving today that we just need to pay close attention to what God is saying and what he's wanting to do in our life. And so I want to share some stats with you. And man, our team's going to help us with this. So top causes of stress right now in the United States. First one is job pressure. Nobody ever feels that, do they? Job pressure, and then here's factors. There'll be factors after each one. I won't say everything, but those are some of the factors. Top causes, again, of stress in America. Number 2, money, and its causes there, and why people feel the stress. Some of you are already relating. I'm hearing it. Number 3, health. Another cause, again, these are top 7 causes of stress. Number 4, relationships. I'm going to talk to you more about that in a little bit. Number 5, poor nutrition. Yeah, poor nutrition, what you eat and living your life, it can be stressful. Number 6, boy, this is true, media overload. And all the people said, amen. Oh, man. And television, radio, internet, email, my goodness, social media. It's just not worth it, everybody, all right? Sleep, number 7, the last one, sleep deprivation. And that's a big one. A lot of people struggle to sleep. A lot of people These are recent stats, 2 years old, 2015, just for anybody that wants to know how old these are, 2015. Give you some other statistics I think were interesting to me. 77% of people regularly experience physical symptoms that are caused by stress. Next one, 73% regularly experience psychological symptoms that are caused by stress. 33% feel they are living with extreme stress. Yeah, 48% feel their stress has increased over the past 5 years. Man, 76% cited money and work as the leading cause of their stress. And then 48% report lying awake at night due to stress. A couple other stats, just want to give you almost done. I'm getting stressed just saying these, all right? Work stress causes 10% of strokes. Stress is the basic cause of 60% of all human illness and disease. 3 out of 4 doctor visits are for stress-related ailments. Boy, here's some wake-up ones right here. The risk of heart attack with stress increases by 40%. The risk of heart attack by 25%. The risk of stroke by 50%. And then stress-related ailments cost the nation $300 billion every year in medical bills. And so here's what I'm saying. I'm just saying this, that how many know that we need to awaken, because this is a reality that we're all facing. And I really went around with this message, even what to title it, and because I wanted to title it well, and I just realized that, man, you cannot do this life without God. It'll get crazy. And I'm just telling you, God has a play for us to run. So I'm going to get real practical. Now, I know that may be hard to believe because I'm a practical guy. And what I don't like sometimes when I go to conferences or even church services, I try to do a good job of pastoring in this way and leading this way, is I've been at conferences, maybe you have too, that, man, it's been great, credible, but like, how do I do that? I mean, what you're saying makes perfect sense. I get it. But how do I do it? Like, how do I do that? How do I accomplish that? And so I get real frustrated because I feel like I waste my time when I go home and I feel like I don't know what to do and how to accomplish what you just talked to me about. So I'm not here to waste your time this morning. Come on. I want to be real practical in helping us move from where we're at to where God wants us to be. And here's what I think is really important. If you're ever going to begin to move forward in God's destiny and his plan for your life, you've got to first identify what's happening in you. Because everything that you're seeing outwardly is not necessarily being dictated about circumstantial things. A lot of your response, most of your response, is what's happening inside of you. What's going on in me? And so I want to identify, and as I work through this, you may find that you've got some of these symptoms, and if you do, it's okay. Just recognize it, and then we're going to have a solution, God's solution and plan for what we're going through. All right, talk to me. You with me so far? And so am I talking to anybody that understands what I'm saying and say, man, I need some of this? Because I know I do. I preach myself silly this week by reading through and going through my notes and these scriptures, because it's a reminder for me. So here's a few things I want to give you that are real practical. And when stress happens according to scripture, this is what we see. First of all, is that our resistance is lower. When we are maxed out to the limit, overwhelmed, overworked, not resting, our ability to say no, especially to sin, increases. Here's what I know. I make the worst decisions when I'm tired. But I make my best decisions when I'm rested. And so if you're not careful, you can get caught up into a place. And for some, you know what I'm talking about. I'm just not at my best when I'm tired and worn out. I'm more susceptible and I need to be careful. Jesus, speaking of being careful, said it this way: be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. So part of my job is to warn you. And this is what I'm trying to do today, is to kind of wave the red flag today in our life and get us to really come to grips with maybe what's going on and not just trying to do the same old thing, especially when it's not producing any results. Amen? Here's the second thing I know, is that when I'm stressed, that my emotions are inconsistent. And maybe you're there today. You say, man, why am I getting so angry so easily? Like, man, I that's not me. I shouldn't have said that. That came out wrong. I don't know why I'm saying those things. And you just are noticing that your response and your emotions are all over. Can I just tell you? It's a symptom of a hurried pace. And you have to be careful. So when my emotions are just being driven by whatever is happening, it's a dangerous place to live, and it's dangerous for the people that you love. And it's not fair to them. So this is why we need God's help. Y'all with me? Job experienced this, 9:25. He says, my days go by faster than a runner. They fly away without my seeing any joy. Job experienced a lot of tragedy in his life. What a horrible thing to do life and not experience any joy. That stinks. Yeah, that's horrible. And it's not the will of God, but what happens is stress robs you of joy. For some, we get mad easier. We start saying things that shouldn't be coming out of our mouth. And honestly, it's just not you, but it's these things that have gone unfiltered and unchecked that it's now at a place where it's becoming dangerous because it's really leading, stress is leading your life. And so we got to be careful. So there's the red flag, all right? It's flying today, all right? Y'all with me? And so you got to be careful. And just remember, you asked for this, all right? Here's the next thing I know is that my productivity suffers. Man, this is a big one I've seen in my own life. You think, because my weakness is, one of my many weaknesses, one of them is being a workaholic, and I got to be careful. It's something that my overseers, my relationships in my life really help keep that checked with me. But here's the deal, that you think by working harder that you get more done. And you probably found out this didn't work. That you are getting less done by doing more. You with me? And so it's the principle of the axe, of sharpening the saw, that you can take a swing at the tree, but if you never take time to sharpen it, you're going to be axing and trying to work that out all day long. But how many know if you would just, maybe, if you would just sharpen that bad boy, maybe one swing would take that tree down. But what we say is, well, I don't have the time to sharpen it. I don't have time for it. I got to get it done. I got to hurry up. I got to accomplish it. I got to get it done. And so what we do is we don't take the time to sharpen it. And so therefore, when we're not sharpened, we get dull. Our perception, our reality isn't necessarily reality. We just get caught up in stress and frustration. And so I just want you to get this. Same principle is the principle of the tithe. Makes no sense to our carnal minds that God will bless you more than you need on 90%. And the same is true with this principle here today, that if you'll do less, you'll actually accomplish more. It's a principle that God himself has placed in. Let me read a couple verses to you. Proverbs 21:5, it says, careful planning. Everybody say careful planning. It puts you ahead. In the long run, hurry and scurry puts you further behind. Proverbs 19:2, a person in a hurry makes mistakes. Sir, ma'am, when's the last time you've just sat down to plan? When's the last time maybe you've just sat down and just worked on things, looked at the months ahead or the year, and just planned some stuff out? Marriages, husbands and wives, when's the last time you just got real strategic and intentional about your schedule? Okay, don't amen me too loud on this now, all right? But when's the last time that you just looked at the schedule and just got real intentional with it and planned ahead and for you and your kids? Planning ahead is going to put you ahead. Here's the other thing I know that stress can do is can feel like, man, our life loses meaning. In other words, you're getting further and further away from your purpose. Because, listen to me, your purpose isn't to do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Your purpose is to do a very few things and do them well. Newsflash, you ready? You aren't good at everything. Breaking news. Somebody needs to hear it. Not good at everything. Everybody say, I'm not good at everything. I just feel like we need to tell ourselves that too. Nor should you be involved in everything. Here's the cool thing about God. God has a sweet spot. Everybody say a sweet spot. He's got a sweet spot for all of us to be in. And the further that you try to get into this place of not aligning yourself with God and His will, the further you get away from that sweet spot and purpose, I'm telling you, the more frustrating it's going to be. The Bible says in Psalm 39:6 that we are merely moving shadows. All our busy rushing ends in nothing. In other words, it's a meaningless life. It's a tragic one. It's one of the purposes of Elevate City. It's one of the reasons why I love our church and what's happening. Is our part of our job and responsibility is to help you stay on point, which is why we have Growth Track. And I've shared this stat before. Barna Research Group, 87% of Christians in our nation currently don't know their gifts or purpose. That's tragic. And we as the local church have got to do a better job equipping, discipling, empowering, so on. That's our job as the church. It's part of the most important things I look at is how are we doing with that and assimilation and helping people. And so here's what I know that is important, because that's why you never hear Pastor Kyle or on church news say, hey, we have a need in such and such area. Would you serve? You don't ever hear that in this church. Why? Because when we take people on a journey through Growth Track, they are finding and discovering their gift, which is going to lead them to helping discover their purpose. Then they get to go serve in the area of that gift and that purpose, and then go make a difference with their life, not just on Sunday, but in small groups and outreaches and so on. Are y'all with me? So I think life is a lot more less frustrating when you find and discover your gifts and your purpose. That's why the Christian life will never make sense until you find it. That's why we work so hard to provide Growth Track, because we believe in it and we're seeing it help people in changing lives. And it's helping people know how to navigate. And I'll say it this way, it also helps people to know what to say no to. All right, preaching good here. All right, let's keep going. When I'm in a hurry, here's the last one, my relationship with God seems distant. You go, and for some of us, this is kind of where we're at. We feel like, man, we're praying. We feel like, man, it's just a ceiling. And the fact is that you need to know this morning that God is very close to you. He's near. And the problem is when we feel like God is feeling distant, I would say it this way, there's too many competing voices. One of the things I encouraged you last week is you have to know the difference and be able to differentiate God's voice versus man's voice, and I would even say your voice. You've got to know. So if you need that, that's why you need to get in a small group. Say, man, that's a struggle. I need it. Get in a small group. We'll help you. We'll help disciple you through that so you learn that. Psalm 46:10. Would you read this with me? Short, sweet verse. Come on, help me. Be still and know that I am God. Good job, church. Ecclesiastes 4:6. It's better to have only a little with peace of mind than to be busy all the time. You notice God understands a thing or two about us, His creation, that we get in this busy mode. Busyness doesn't equal fruitfulness. A lot of times we have this, and this is religion will try to mess you up. Be careful. Religion will try to tell you, man, if you do this, go here, do that. Man, God will be proud of me. Can I just tell you, man, God is proud of you, whether you go do that or not. He loves you, and His love doesn't change. That's religion. Don't get messed up in that. Busyness doesn't equal fruitfulness. And here's the problem. I think we know this. It's like I think I'm not. I don't feel like I'm preaching anything you don't know. But what's the problem? The problem I truly believe isn't with knowing. It's truth that is unapplied to your life that is wasted. And that's what we've got to discover. So I've got to help us today with the application part, which is my job with you today. So here's a thought that I think is so important. Jot this down, that the distance between the truth I know and the truth that I live equals the pain that I experience. I'm going to say it again. The distance, and I'm going to help you understand what that means, between the truth that I know and the truth that I live equals the pain that I experience. So there's the truth that I know and that I'm living, but there's a gap there. And so in other words, I've got to slow it down, become more focused on what God wants for me, not just on what I think I need to be doing or what I think is right. Come on, there, y'all with me on that? Because, man, your thoughts and my thoughts, it'll jack us up. And when you have a closeness of a God-centered life, you make decisions based upon not the circumstance, but based upon what it is that God is saying, what it is that God's word says or his spirit is doing, or even speaking through somebody that loves me enough to help me through this thing. And so I think it's important for us to lock in and to understand, man, that God is very hip to understanding exactly what we're going through. We read the scripture last week in Hebrews. He understands all, he can sympathize with our weaknesses. He gets it, but he was yet without sin. Y'all, if you were here last week, remember that verse. If you missed that message, I'm telling you, you need to listen, go on the app and listen to it. Psalm 42, great verse. It says, day and night I have only tears for food while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking because I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy, giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. For some, you've got to quit focusing on what's behind you. You've got to quit believing the lie that your best days are behind you, because I remember how it used to be. We get stuck, stagnant, life on pause, because we're trying to determine the next move of God based upon what we went through years ago. So, well, if God doesn't move this way, it must not be God. Psh. When we serve a God who's the God of the new, Isaiah tells us, don't remember the former things, but behold, I do a new thing. I don't know about you. I want all the new things God has. I don't want to miss out on it. And I've had some great experiences in my past, good and bad. But I'm not going to allow the past to determine what's in front of me, nor to determine God's best for me, because there's more to God than what you've experienced. I'm just trying to convince you today, to remind you and tell you there is more to God and your relationship than what you have experienced. Does somebody believe that today? There's more. Everybody shout, there's more. There's more. There's more. And for some of us, this has just been our tripping. I mean, just keep tripping us up, this thing or these things or this or that. But God is saying, if you will just surrender it all and let me be God. And don't try to play God. Let him be God. And for real, trust him. Take your hands off of it and say, God, I just lead me. I'm telling you, God will be able to lead us better than you and I could ever do on our own. So what do I do? Here's God's solution. If you're feeling under the weight of stress, you got to keep the Sabbath day holy. Oh, boy. This is God's plan for less stress in your life. But I think what's happened in 2017 is we don't have a proper understanding of this, so I want to help. One of my favorite kind of business leaders who is with the Lord now was Truett Cathy. Truett Cathy was the founder of Chick-fil-A, man of faith. He had a business plan that many were not on board with. His business plan to shut it down once a week. While all the other fast food restaurants are saying, you'll never make it, Truett. It's not going to work. That business plan of yours, shutting down every Sunday, mm-mm. You're going to have to stay open every day of the week. How many know all the other fast food chains are open every day? How many know Chick-fil-A in 2017 is still prospering and doing pretty well? And thank you, Lord, for that sweet tea. Somebody say amen. Woo! We need more Chick-fil-A's in Fort Wayne. Just saying, all right? He made this statement. This is good. He said, I'm not going to give in to the pressure of making more money, but I'm going to shut it down once a week. That's good. He said, when everybody else was telling him you'll never make it, you're not going to succeed, he said, I'm not giving in to that pressure, And this is his follow-up response to the critics. He said, I'd like to be remembered as a person who lived according to their priorities.
Woo!
Man, that hit me. I thought, come on, True, you're preaching. So I want to give you something that's not in your notes. You have to live by principle, not by pressure. Live by principle, not by pressure. I'm not going to give in to culture. I'm not going to give in. I know this is what the job is saying and everything else is happening. I'm not going to give in to the pressure and allow that to dominate me. I'm going to live my life by principle. I'm going to keep God first. Remember, we're not compartmentalizing God. All right? It's not job here and kids here and school here. You know, it's God the center of it all. Amen? So you got to make up your mind of what you believe in. You cannot let anybody knock you off that. So the Sabbath day isn't an hour, all right? You say, well, that's a law. No, read this. Hebrews 4 says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works. Just as God did from his, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. So God worked 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. I love this principle because Jewish people still believe this today, and I believe it too, that every time that you Sabbath, you declare to God that more gets done when I don't do everything I know how to do. Because my strength doesn't come from me. My strength comes from the Lord. But every time that you don't do it, you tell God that this all happens because of me. I'm just going to let that. And that's not something you want to tell God. So what does your Sabbath look like? I want to help you with what that should look like. And yes, man, you should come and be in his house and with your family and be in church and help, you know, and worship God, serve and make a difference. But and giving God the first of the week. I've taught on that before, on first things, giving God the first. Sunday's the first of the week. And I want to give you a few other things outside of this. Number one, that you make the decision to rest your body. 5-hour energy drink ain't got nothing on God's power and his rest for you. And I recommend some of you today, after church, you need to go home and just take a nap. Like, what you need is just a good old nap. And some of the husbands and spouses, yeah. Like, get your nap on, you know what I'm saying? And so some of you guys, maybe later this afternoon, the rain's going to stop by noon today. All right? And so this afternoon, grab the hand of your wife and go for a walk. You may have to pick her up after that, but go for a walk. All right, and then maybe tonight, order some pizza. Forget about cooking. I know everybody's keto friendly right now, but Pastor Kyle's giving you permission to have one cheat meal tonight. All right, so if somebody tries to judge you, you just say, "My pastor said I'm doing to order pizza tonight." So order that pizza. All right, Pizza King, by the way. Just saying. Anyway, Psalm 127 is my favorite. In vain you rise early and stay up late. Toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. That verse right there, some of you need to pray that before you go to bed tonight. Just say, God, I thank you for granting me sleep. Help me to rest. Number two is that I will replenish my soul. I will replenish my soul. John 14, Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. How many want the peace that God can give, not the world? Amen. And I want to give you a couple things just on that, how to replenish, because that can be kind of broad. Because if your emotions and you're finding, man, I'm not in good condition, sir, ma'am, that anger is not you. We've just allowed things to get out of whack and out of priority. So a few things I want to give you quickly is you do that, you replenish yourself with quietness. This is something I value so much. In my quietness, I'm asking God the question, am I doing a good job of taking care of my wife and my kids, my family? Am I taking care of me? Am I doing a good job of helping to lead this church? Man, are we making a difference? Sometimes I'll turn on a little Elevation Worship. Sometimes I'll turn on a little Hillsong. Read scripture, get in my 1-year Bible. And then I love this promise, Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Man, some of y'all need this today. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, my emotions, my mind. Here's another thing you can replenish is with enjoyment. Find out what fun is for you and do it. All right? My counselor many, many months ago checked me, checked the fire out of me. So what are you doing for fun? I said, oh, man, I love pastor. Love it. Love it. She said, you are a lunatic. I said, okay, maybe. What? She said, what do you like to do? I said, I love sports. She said, well, you need to tell me more about it. So I love to go to games. She said, you need more of that. Do it. Okay. What else? So I like movies. Go to movies. Watch movies at home. A little Netflix. Come on, somebody. I said, do more of that. Whatever fun is, you need to do it. Enjoy the journey. That's why I love laughing in church, because we need it. That's why the Bible says a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy it. I'm telling you, man, I'm learning this too, guys. It's important. Here's the last thing. Replenish yourself with people. Say, well, Pastor, man, they're the ones causing my stress. Then you around the wrong people. You need people in your life that are going to love you and got your back. Where? Small groups. And go do life with people. You can connect with our team at the Next Steps table on your way out today. Connect. Get in a group, get in a group, get in a group, get in a group. Get in a small group. Bible says a fool goes off in many directions. So I've just learned I'm a fool if people are not in my life. Hebrews 10:25, let's not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another. Here's the last thing, number three. I will refocus my spirit. I will refocus my spirit. My time's gone, but I want to do something. Felt really led by the Holy Spirit today to do this. I want you just to bow your head, close your eyes. And I'm going to read a scripture, and I'm going to pray this scripture over you today. And here's what I would love for you to do. Just right there where you're sitting, just to open up your hands like this. Just like that. As a sign of just of worship, as a sign of surrender to God, that, Lord, my ways aren't working. I need your voice, your direction in my life. And what you're communicating is, God, I need you. So right there, and I want to read this scripture over you here today. Psalm 121. It says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No, our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's your helper. Listen, he will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. He's watching over you. He gets it. He understands every detail. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm, and he watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and as you go, both now and forever. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for your word, that we have just invited, God, your word to bring about the change in our life that we need. And as your people right here, God, with hearts and hands that are open, God, we're just declaring, God, speak to us. Give us direction. Lead us down right paths. Help us to make course directions, God, and to make the readjustments where we need. We cannot do this without you. So, Father, I pray right now for the helper of the Holy Spirit to speak, to counsel, and to move. I declare stress, fear, and worry has to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Anxiety has to go and has to bow at the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, right now I'm asking, God, for the power of your presence to sweep through this room in every heart, every mind, every person right now in our spirit. Let there come an awakening to your voice and to the reality of the presence of God that we so desperately need in Jesus' name. We need you, God. God, we're sorry for trying to do this without you. We're sorry for trying to manage life and making decisions without you. God, forgive us. Forgive us. We should have never done that. And so, God, we're inviting you today, though, into our life, into our situation, in the name of Jesus. If you would, just keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. I want to give an opportunity. If you need Jesus to be the Lord of your life today, maybe you're here for the first time, and this is totally new for you. Maybe you had a relationship with God. I just want you to know, I want to give you an opportunity. We're all going to pray a prayer in just a moment. But if you recognize, man, I need a new beginning. Man, I need a fresh start with God. Come on, I don't want you to be ashamed today. On the count of three, as every head is bowed, I just want you to just slip up your hand and then you can put it right back down. And then we're going to pray. Come on, all over this place. One, two, come on, three in this place. Come on, anybody says me. Yeah, got you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, got you. Got you. Praise God. Praise God. Awesome. Yep, yeah, got you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Amen. Come on, let's just pray this, all of us together. Those that raise their hand, man, just mean it from your heart and pray this. We're going to pray with you. Just say something like this. Just say, Jesus, I thank you for saving me today. I repent of my sins. And I ask you to cleanse my past away. And I'm moving forward in my relationship with you. Give me the strength and the courage and the power to change. And thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand. Can we do that this morning, church? Amen.